What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, we are going to be projecting the Philadelphia Eagles, and it all starts with coaching, which, thank goodness, they finally fixed their offensive play caller situation by grabbing offensive coordinator Kellen Moore from the Chargers. Offensive line, unfortunately, Jason Kelce, retired, the center, maybe the author of the tush push. Our skill positions, the changes for the Eagles, they lost running back DeAndre Swift, but they added running back Saquon Barkley on $38 million over 3 years. They added wide receiver Devontae Parker to help with their depth, and they traded for quarterback Kenny Pickett for some reason to be their backup quarterback. Now, looking at the defensive side of the ball, they added defensive end Bryce Huff, paid him $51 million over 3 years, added safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and they paid him $33 million over 3 years. They added linebacker Devin White from my very own Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Might help him out only because of how terrible their linebacking situation was last year, although Devin White isn't the best. He's not very well-rounded. They drafted cornerback, and this is just ridiculous. They drafted cornerback Quinyon Mitchell at 20th overall in the draft and cornerback Cooper DeJean at 40th overall in the NFL draft. These were the number one and number two corners in the draft. You know, maybe one of them are number three if you ask somebody else that has Terrion Arnold at one or two. But they got two of the top three corners, all viewed as pretty elite corner prospects in this draft. They got two of them, and one of them dropped to 40 overall, Cooper DeJean, when he was projected in the first round the entire year. Like, the entire mock draft season, he was projected first round. So, looking at the defense, I think the defense will get better. And they also did lose edge rusher Hassan Reddick. Now, the biggest change here, in my opinion, the biggest thing that we're going to dive into is, well, obviously the addition of Saquon Barkley, but mainly the addition of Kellen Moore. Now, I don't expect the way the offense distributes things to change all that much. I just think the way they do it is going to be a lot more effective. This was a nice coaching hire for the Eagles, and it's going to extend their window and increase their likelihood of being able to win the Super Bowl, in my opinion. So let's look at some history real quick for the Philadelphia Eagles. In 2022, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, they had 1,080 plays. Last year, they had 1,073, both well above the NFL average of 1,028. Last year, they had a 50% pass rate. This past year, they had a 52% pass rate. So, you know, on the lower side of how much they pass makes sense because they have a quarterback that can run and they have a good running game and an offensive line that helps with that running game. In 2022, this was the big difference right here. They had 57 touchdowns. Last year, they only had 46. So their offense obviously took quite the step back. Now, if we're looking at Kellen Moore coming from the Chargers, last year, 2023, he had 1,063 plays, also well above the average. But his pass rate was 59%. He passed the ball way more than the Eagles and way more than the NFL average. In 2022, he passed the ball 64% of the time, and they had 1,115 plays. So to take the numbers out of it, just so that you can understand the point I'm making, right? Kellen Moore with the Chargers always ran way more plays than average and passed the ball way more than average. The Eagles have had more plays than average, but have passed the ball significantly less than most teams in the NFL. So Kellen Moore is going to come over here, and he's probably going to bring a higher pass-happy offense. And it's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be what he did with the Chargers, because Justin Herbert doesn't have the legs that Hurts has, and we have to recognize that players affect the schemes that the coaches are going to use. You can't just say, oh, the coach did this here, even though all the players are completely different here, he's going to do the exact same thing. No, coaches, good coaches, which I believe Kellen Moore is, know how to create things for the players in their offense. So I think we're going to see that, and they are going to still run the ball a good bit, and Hurts will still be active on the ground. I just don't think it will be as bad, as much. Because if you watch the offense last year, Jalen Hurts, it was basically like baby pre-K routes that the wide receivers were running, and he would go through the first two reads, and then he would run or scramble around and try to find something. He dumped it off a little bit more than he used to Swift, because of the fact that there wasn't really much going on in the offensive scheming department. And a lot of times he just threw it up to A.J. Brown, like, F it. A.J. Brown is down there somewhere. Like, that was a running joke through the season for the Eagles. And I have a lot of friends that are Eagles fans, and they told me the same thing. They're like, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just like, throw it down to A.J., I guess. Because A.J.'s, you know, a monster, and he's huge and fast and good in 50-50 situations, so maybe he'll save us. And A.J. did that a lot. A.J. was able to do that a lot and was getting a lot of just deep targets and saving them, but it wasn't a good, functioning, consistent, reliable offense. And I think Kellen Moore is going to change that, and that's going to be very good for fantasy. And also, another thing that's great for fantasy is this team is extremely, extremely funneled. Their targets are extremely funneled into their top guys. They do not spread the ball around that much. They are not the type of team to involve their third wide receiver, their second running back. Like, they don't do that. So that's going to be good for the fantasy department as well. Also, looking at the team, so 2023 last year, not only did they have terrible play calling, but they also were ravaged with injuries. So I think that because of, you know, some of the wide receivers being hurt and stuff like that for so to switch over to Kellen Moore real quick, because all the wide receivers being hurt with the Chargers, I think that's why he passed the ball 59% of the time instead of in the 60s, like what the Chargers have been doing. It's because Mike Williams got hurt, Keenan missed a little bit of time, Quentin Johnson was terrible. Like, the wide receiver room in the Chargers was not good last year at all, so I think that's why they started to run the ball a little bit more. So now coming over here with his ideal situation being passing a lot, I think that's going to bring up the pass rate for the Eagles. They're going to have better scheming, and Hurts will still run plenty, so don't worry about that. This team should be among the top in the league for total plays, and the defense should also be much improved from last year. The defense also dealt with some injury problems, and they added a lot of guys, especially to their corner room, which needed some help in a first-round pick and somebody who should have been a first-round pick in Cooper DeJean but went in the second. So what are the highlights, right? The highlights of this team before we get into the projection. They have the first-ranked offensive line in the league going into 2024 despite losing Kelce by PFN. They're getting a good play caller who schemes great pass offenses and utilizes high paces of play. The team is going to be healthier, and the defense is improved from last year. The team's going to run a lot of plays, they're going to pass the ball more, and they're going to get their touchdowns up from last year back into the range of their Super Bowl run. I'm going to give them 1,100 plays total, a pass rate of 54%. So remember, the Eagles were passing 52% of the time last year, 50% of the time the year before that. I'm going to bring that up a little bit. I think Kellen Moore is going to instill confidence into the passing offense and make things a little bit better. So they're going to pass the ball a bit more. And I'm giving them 51 touchdowns, kind of in the middle of what they've had the past 2 years. So talking about Jalen Hurts, that's going to be 594 passes for him. It seems like a lot for Jalen Hurts, but with the total amount of plays coming back up and a little bit more passing, it makes sense. His efficiency will also go back up. That's a big thing here in the pass game without terrible play calling. Just like I was expecting on the last podcast, Seattle, their efficiency is going to go up. I think the Eagles' efficiency is also going to go up. And don't worry, there are teams that we will talk about that we will get to in projections that I think their efficiency is going to get worse and stuff like that. And I'm sure we've already talked about a couple of those teams in the projections. Maybe I'm trying to think of everybody I've projected, but things do get worse. I'm not just an eternal optimist when it comes to projections at all. So continuing on Jalen Hurts, right? He basically, like I said, just threw it up to A.J. Brown because he's big when all else failed. And now having a legit offense, it's going to make things way better, like it was before Shane Steichen left. Because Shane Steichen was their play caller before he went to be the head coach for the Colts, and that's when they were awesome. So I'm going to give Hurts a good yards per attempt, just barely above the NFL average for quarterbacks. A 66% completion rate, that's about standard, and 12 yards per completion. He's got good weapons, so he should have an easy time putting up the numbers I'm giving him. He could definitely do better than that. So when you hear at the end of this, you're going to hear my passing projection for Jalen Hurts, and you're going to be like, what? How is it that high? Just remember, right now, and I'm speaking on his efficiency, I don't have him being that much more efficient than other quarterbacks in the league. And he's got some of the best weapons. It's really just because his pass attempts are going to be higher than what we've seen in the past. I am decreasing his rushing down to 7.5 runs per game. He ran 11 times per game in the Super Bowl year, 9 times per game last year, started to decrease, and I think it's going to continue because he's going to have a better pass game, he's going to have Saquon Barkley, and he's going to have less tush pushes with Kelce gone and Barkley in tow. So that's going to lead to less runs because a lot of the runs that Hurts was doing was either scrambling and then trying to pick something up instead of checking it down to DeAndre Swift, or they're at the goal line and he's doing the tush push. And also, DeAndre Swift was not good in red zone situations. Like he's not good in terms of pushing a pile or getting in from within the 5-yard line into the end zone. And since they knew that, a lot of the time they would just do the tush push, just run it with Hurts. Well, Barkley is good at that. Barkley is big and strong and a do-it-all running back. So that's going to take those opportunities, some of them, away from Jalen Hurts. So in that way, you'll see his runs go down. And I think that he will be more confident in checking the ball down to Saquon than he was to DeAndre Swift. And he might just be like, all right. And they're already working out together in the offseason. They're already building chemistry. I think he's going to be like, all right, you know what? I can protect myself. I don't need to run. I'm going to just check it down to Saquon. And I think that's going to be an emphasis from Kellen Moore as well, who has thrown two running backs a lot in Austin Ekeler. And even when he was there in Dallas, they were throwing the ball a lot to Zeke. And I think Tony Pollard was there for one of the years Kellen Moore was there. So the same reasons that I explained Jalen Hurts' rushes coming down a little bit, it's going to be the same for his touchdowns, right? He's going to be giving up some of those goal line touchdowns to Saquon. So I'm going to give Jalen Hurts 10 rushing touchdowns. He had 15 last year. He's been at 10 or more every season that he's played a full season or close to a full season. So I do think his rushing efficiency will increase because of the better pass attack and the threat of Saquon, but he'll just do it less often. Overall, for Jalen Hurts, I have him at 24.9 points per game. That's possibly going to be my quarterback one. That's possibly going to be QB1 for me. It's hard for me to think that somebody else is going to eclipse that projection. I have 594 passes for him, 392 completions, 4,704 passing yards. A lot of plays and a lot of good weapons is going to lead to that. 28 passing touchdowns. And then 127 carries for 635 yards on the ground and 10 rushing touchdowns. That's what I have for Jalen Hurts. Huge projection, yes, indeed, but that's what I got for him. A.J. Brown, 28% of the targets last year, 27% of the targets in 2022. He is consistently one of the highest targeted players in the league, rightfully so. His target share, you know, because it's pretty consistent, I don't really see any reasons to change it or reduce it. I'm going to project that same range that he's in. I'm giving him 27%. His efficiency has also been amazing because he gets those deep targets, and he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL after the catch. So, and it's a virtue of his size, his strength. He's got good speed as well, and his tackle breaking is amazing. So his efficiency should get better from what it was last year with play calling improvements. I'm going to give him a slight tick up, a slight upgrade on his efficiency. Not nearly as efficient as what he did in the Super Bowl year. I don't have him there, but I do have him more efficient than last year. And I'm going to give him 9 touchdowns off of the 28. So 9 out of the 28. That is basically the median projection for what his share of touchdowns has been for the Eagles. He's usually in a high percentage of the team's touchdowns. I'm keeping him right around that same range and giving him 9 touchdowns of the 28. Overall for A.J. Brown, I have him at 160 targets, 102 receptions, 1,588 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Do not forget, at one point in the season, A.J. Brown was on pace for over 100 yards per game. He was on pace to possibly with Tyreek, one of them, give the record a run for its money on receiving yards in a season. And it was looking like at one point in the year last year that A.J. Brown and Tyreek Hill were going to finish like Julio Jones and Antonio Brown did way back when they were both above 1,800 receiving yards. It seemed like that's where Tyreek and A.J. were going. So I know it sounds like a lot for A.J., but it's really not. I mean, everything should be getting better for them, especially for him. Now, DeVonta Smith We'll talk about him. For reasons unknown to me, unless it was just terrible play calling, Devonta, his target share plummeted last year, 4%. But then when you look into it a little bit more, you kind of dig deeper, you're going to discover that when Goddard was healthy in 2022, that Super Bowl year, he was getting 23% of the targets, Devonta was. So his target share is less if Goddard is healthy. And obviously we always project for health, so that will bring his target share down a little bit, okay? 21% of the targets is what he was getting last year. His skill, talent definitely demand more than that, but you've got the alpha already in the offense with AJ Brown, so you're kind of capped on your target percentage. I'm going to project a similar target share he had in the Super Bowl year when Goddard was healthy. I'm kind of carrying that over here with a 23% target share. His efficiency should continue to be good. He's one of the most talented number twos there is in the league, right? And when I'm looking at him, he's going to have a higher catch rate than AJ Brown because the level of difficulty in terms of the passes he's receiving are not as difficult as what AJ Brown gets thrown. AJ Brown gets deeper targets more often, 50-50 balls more often, stuff like that. So his catch rate's a little bit lower. Devonta creates more separation, has less contested catches to deal with, and because of that has an easier catch rate. But he won't have as many yards per catch either. Now, the last 2 years, Devonta Smith has gotten 30% of the team's touchdowns. I'm going to just keep that streak going. I'm giving him 8 of the 28. So for Devonta Smith, I'm going to have 137 targets, 96 yards, 1,272 receiving yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's going to put him at 16 points per game. That makes him a solid wide receiver too. I have him just right there with Drake London. I think him and Drake London are going to be very similar. Might sound weird because we're expecting the Falcons to pass a lot and the Drake London to be the number one target, right? But Devonta Smith is going to be more efficient, in my opinion, than Drake London. He has been more efficient, obviously has had a much better situation. However, I think as the number two, not being the number one like Drake London, he should continue to be much more efficient. So Devonta Smith, excited for him this year. I think he might have possibly the best year of his career. And it'll be pretty close to what he's done in his past best year. So Devonta, AJ, they will be the bulk of this offense in the receiving game. Dallas Goedert is the last guy I feel the need to touch on and give you guys the actual projection for. So when everyone was healthy in 2022, he had 20% of the targets. Last year, he had 18% of the targets. So that's kind of the range he's been in. I think Kellen Moore will lean more into the wide receivers because, you know, Dallas, like if you're trying to think of Kellen Moore's coaching tree or where he's been, right? In Dallas, when he had Dak and his offense threw to the tight end a lot. But discovering Kellen Moore in a new location outside of Dallas in the Chargers building, right? They weren't throwing to the tight end the same way Dallas was. So I think that really the targeting of the tight end position was not a Kellen Moore thing as much as it was a Dak Prescott thing. So because Dak Prescott has continued, since Kellen Moore left, has continued to target tight ends that are not even viewed as like elite receiving threats. He continues to throw to them. And Kellen Moore on his own with Justin Herbert didn't throw to the tight end nearly as much. So, and that was even with the Chargers being decimated at wide receiver. They still only threw to the tight end league average last year, even though their wide receiver situation was horrid. So I expect about the same for Dallas Goedert. I don't think Kellen Moore is going to come in here and start targeting him, making him a bigger part of the offense. So I'm giving him the same type of target share he's been working with. He's never been a big touchdown guy. That's been what's held Dallas Goedert back. I used to say, okay, you know, touchdowns aren't sticky. Dallas Goedert, you know, his touchdowns will come up and they'll likely reflect his target share. But at this point, it's been 4 or 5 years of 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns. Like, he has never been a target in the red zone. He's never been that type of guy. So at this point, once your sample is as big as it is, just like Julio Jones, right? Julio Jones, we like to used to say, all right, you know, it's not a sticky stat, it'll get better. Well, it turns out that it was a sticky stat for Julio, that he was just not that red zone guy for Matt Ryan. He was not a huge touchdown guy ever. And that's what held him back from just being an absolute unstoppable force, wide receiver 1 by a mile in any given year. the thing that held him back was touchdowns, and we learned that, hey, we probably should have bought into that trend. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm going to buy into the trend for Dallas Goedert. I think he doesn't get that many touchdowns. It's just not his thing. So he's probably going to miss a few games like usual to injury, but I'm not going to project that, of course. I'm projecting good efficiency for him. 107 targets, 77 receptions, 1,016 yards, and 5 touchdowns. That's 12.3 points per game. Now, for reference, Kyle Pitts right now is my tight end one out of the people that I've projected. Kyle Pitts is at 13.5 points per game for me, with upside to be way better than that. Dallas Goedert at 12.3 points per game with not much upside to get much better. So right now, that's kind of where he's at. I imagine once I'm done with projections, he'll be around the tight end 8 range, between tight end 8 and 10. And now we have to talk about Saquon. Saquon, we're going to dive into a little bit and look at some different things. All right. So first off, I like to look at Saquon's share of carries. Like, when he was in New York, how much of the work did he really get in the running back room? Then, Kellen Moore is coming over here. How much work did Austin Eckler get in his room with Kellen Moore? And then DeAndre Swift, last year with the Eagles, how much work did he get? So I'm looking at different things here to try to encapsulate what the Eagles like to do, to try to encapsulate what Kellen Moore likes to do, and what Saquon has done, so that we can kind of come up with a Saquon projection here. Now, Eckler with Kellen Moore had a great target rate, right? 18% of the targets in his good years, 60% of the running back carries, and 87% of the team's rushing touchdowns. So basically what I'm trying to say with Eckler is he got a good target rate. He just over, half of the carries for the running backs and had almost all of the team's rushing touchdowns. Now, Swift, we're breaking down Swift, DeAndre Swift with the Eagles. He only got targeted half the time that Eckler did, 9% of the time. He did get a bigger workload of the share in the running back room, though. He got 70% of the running back carries. That was better than what Eckler did. And he had almost none of the team touchdowns. We already explained how he's not good at the goal line. He's not a guy that you rely on there. He's never done that in his entire career. His teams have always shied away from him in those situations. And rightfully so, Jalen Hurts also is a big portion of the team rushing touchdowns. Saquon, now, we'll talk about him. He is basically right there in the middle on targets between Eckler and Swift, kind of what I was expecting. Saquon in New York was getting about 14% of the targets. He had the bulk by far compared to Eckler and Swift, also what you would expect, the bulk of carries in the running back room. Saquon has one of the highest share of carries in terms of percentage of any running back in the NFL since he's been in the NFL. He had 87% of the running back carries. That is insane. Most people, a lot of teams now, are shifting over to this running back by committee, which is extremely frustrating for people trying to find running backs for fantasy football. One of those guys that is never going to be in a running back by committee is Saquon Barkley. So that's going to continue. He's going to continue to just get a massive workload. And he also usually has a good share of the team rushing touchdowns, well over half of the share. Now, when we're looking at what he's going to be here, right, he profiles like a bell cow that neither Kellen Moore or the Eagles have had recently. The Eagles, Swift is good, and they treated him like a bell cow, but that's not what he is. That's not his skill set. So the Eagles haven't had a bell cow running back in a long time. Kellen Moore hasn't had a bell cow running back since Ezekiel Elliott in his prime. So it's not something that either of them have had recently, and I think it's going to change for both, because Saquon is here in Philly with Kellen Moore, and he's going to be their bell cow. Kellen Moore does like to throw to the running back, right? He's always done that in his offenses. I think he's going to get that to be a little bit more important in this offense, but Hurts' legs will limit that. Jalen Hurts is still going to run when he wants to run, so he's not going to be able to throw to the running back as much as Kellen Moore might want him to. However, Kellen Moore will win some of those battles and get Jalen Hurts to check it down a little bit more than he has. So it's going to be a lot of just, tug of war and meeting in the middle between Kellen Moore, Saquon, and Jalen Hurts. So I expect a better target share than what Swift was getting, but I don't think he's going to get targeted as much as he did in New York. When you think about Saquon in New York, right, who were the weapons and the threats around him? Nobody. Nobody. That Saquon was the best receiving weapon since he's been in New York. When he was a rookie, was Odell there? I forget if Odell was there, if that was the year Odell got traded. I think Baker Mayfield was in the same rookie draft as Saquon Barkley. So, and Baker had a rookie year that was great, and Odell wasn't there yet. So, yeah. So, the first year Saquon was in New York, that was with Eli Manning and Odell. And since then, he's been the best receiving weapon for the team. So, it makes sense why coming to Philly with A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, he's not going to get as many targets as he did in terms of percentage of the pie. So I'm going to give him a little bit less than what he was doing in New York, but definitely more than what Swift did last year because of the change in offensive coordinator. Now, in terms of running the ball, right? And I'm going to make him a little bit better of a receiver too. But in terms of running the ball, how much carries am I going to give him? There's about 355 carries to go around to the running back room in our projections. I'm going to give him 82% of the carries. So he's been 87% of the Giants running back carries when he's healthy. I'm giving him 82 here. You know, he is getting a little bit older, and Kellen Moore does like to give a lot of carries to his bell cow if you go back to Zeke, but 87% is ridiculous. So I'm going to bring that down a little bit. That 82% that I'm projecting for him of the 355 running back carries is going to be 291 carries for Saquon. His efficiency should increase. Last year he had 3.9 yards per carry. He's a much better running back than that number reflects. What's very normal for Philly, because of how good their offensive line is, and they're projected to be number one in the league this year, what's normal for Philly is, hey, if you're a good running back, you can average 5 yards per carry. So, if you're somewhat talented, I mean, Rashad Penny, Kenneth Gainwell, like all these guys, DeAndre Swift, have had 5 yard per carry averages or something close to that. I'm going to give Saquon 4.6. I'm going to give him less than five yards per carry because of the fact that Saquon's getting a little bit older. He's got a lot of tread off the tires, and he's going to have so many carries with 291 that I just think, you know, the efficiency, the explosiveness, it's not going to be there through the whole season the way that it would be if he's getting 200 carries, which is usually more what Philly did. Like, they didn't have anybody that just took 250 plus carries like that. So, because of that, I do think Saquon is going to be the situation much more efficient than he has been. However, not as efficient as what they've seen, just because he's going to be taking on a lot more work. Now, he's going to have 10 rushing touchdowns. You can book that one, because he's going to be taking a little bit from Hurts. Hurts is going to have to give up some of the touchdowns, but Saquon, you know, because the offense is so much better, even though he has to compete with Hurts for rushing touchdowns, he's still going to get more or about the same, at least at minimum, as what he was doing in New York, just because the offense is so much better, provides so much more opportunity, even though he has to share that opportunity. So for Saquon Barkley, I've got him with 77 targets, 58 receptions, 423 receiving yards, 2 receiving touchdowns, 291 carries, 1,339 rushing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns. For the total of his projection is just over Saquon, just barely over 1,700 yards. And so he's going to be above 100 yards per game if you combine his rushing and receiving, and 12 touchdowns. That's going to be 18 points per game. He's likely going to be a top 5 running back for me in my projections. Right now I have Bijan well above him. I have Bijan at 21.2. I've got Saquon here at 18. I expect Gibbs will probably be above Saquon. And then Breece Hall would probably be above Saquon. And then we're going to get into, you know, a tough spot where when I'm projecting Christian McCaffrey's efficiency to come down a lot because of the studies that I've done for how much work he just took in this past season and how that affects efficiency. And then Jonathan Taylor, you know, how much is he going to share with Anthony Richardson? And he's not quite the receiver that that Saquon is. So those guys, McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, they will be very close with Saquon. I won't be surprised if Saquon ends up on top of them. So he could be probably in that RB4 to 7 range for me when it's all said and done. Thank you guys for listening. I'll answer some Discord questions real quick. We kind of already touched on them, but I'll elaborate. How much will they run the tush push without Kelce? I think that they're not going to nearly as much. And I don't think it's as much losing Kelce as it is getting a running back that's actually good at the goal line in Saquon instead of DeAndre Swift. When you had Swift, you didn't really feel good about just giving it to him at the 1 or at the 2. So that's part of the reason why I think they look to the tush push so often. Now they have Saquon. I think Kellen Moore is going to be like, guys, let's not make this complicated. We've got the best offensive line in the league. We've got one of the strongest, biggest, best running backs in the league. Just give him the ball and let him get the 1-2 yards that we need. It's not that crazy. We don't need to be risking Jalen Hurts getting injured or doing anything like that. So I think that there will definitely their attempts at the tush push will definitely come down. With that said, and Saquon being better than Swift, what will Hurts' touchdowns look like? That we already touched on. I think his touchdowns rushing will definitely take a hit. And then the offense has not thrown much to the running back. How does that change, if at all? I do think it changes because Saquon's going to garner more respect from Jalen Hurts. And I think Hurts will be more likely to check it down to him. And also, Kellen Moore has liked to throw the ball to running backs a lot through his whole career, all the offenses he's been a part of. So I think he's going to bring a little bit of that here to Philly and try to get Jalen Hurts to settle down on the scrambles. So with that said, that's my projections for the Philadelphia Eagles. Honestly, not too hard of a team to project. The thing that we had to really look into was just the Kellen Moore versus Jalen Hurts, Saquon sharing of the ball, like in the rushing game. The rest is kind of just, you know, hey, they got a similar team, similar build, still really good offensive line, still the same weapons that they've had. It's one of the nice, refreshing teams I get to project. And now the next one I'm going to be doing is the Carolina Panthers, which is going to be a massive headache. But I'm excited to do it because I want to see what I expect from Bryce Young after all the research I'm going to do and what I'm going to be expecting from the weapons there that are all new. So with that said, thank you guys for listening. Drop a rating, drop a review. Please share with a friend. If you know any Eagles guys, send this to them and be like, hey, what you think? Is Brandon kind of on par here or is he missing something? And get back to me. But honestly, I appreciate if you guys just share the show with anyone. Help me grow in that way because I want a lot of people to be privy to the work that I'm doing here. Thank you for everything. Until next time, peace.